Hi guys, welcome back to You Get the Gist. I'm your host Diana, and in this episode we are going to talk about our 20s. We're going to talk about the most important lessons that we are supposed to learn during this very fruitful time of our lives, during this time where our minds are still so, let's not say easy to mold, but it's possible to mold them quite in the way that you would like to have them. It's this time where you are susceptible to so many changes, to so many, ideas and things that you might think you want, but maybe you don't want after you get them. So it's a very confusing time as well, and we're going to try to bring some structure into it. I'm currently sitting here with my cat Lucy. She's slightly purring in the background. There is a storm going on outside. It's 8 p.m. and life is good. Which better conditions can we imagine for recording your podcast episode? I just love the ambience right now. There is quite a strange satisfaction to when you turn 25 and you look back on your teenage years, for example, when you were 18, 19, 20, and you cannot recognize yourself. Maybe you feel a bit shame about how you used to be, how you used to present yourself, what kind of people you used to hang out with, what you used to do at that time. But I'm here to tell you that you don't need to feel shame for who you used to be, because if you haven't went through that experience to that span in your life, you wouldn't be where you are today. So every single misstep, or let's say what you think was a misstep, every single experience, every single phase of your life brought you to where you are right now. And that is something to be proud about. Usually people don't change who they are in their core, but I do believe in true change. And that change can only take place when there is a deeper reason, a deeper calling, what it is your soul waking up to get out of the matrix and start truly living, start making a change in the world and in the energetic realm, start to really shift, quantum leap, and change who you used to be. That is 100% possible. But if you are not aware, if you're not mindful of the ways that you live in and the kind of mindset that you have and all of the ideas that live on in your life and the things from the past that continue living through ancestral trauma in you, the things that you suppress in your unconscious mind, if you're not aware of all of those things, I don't believe that change is truly possible at core level. So if you're ready for core level growth, here are my top 5 lessons that you need to know before turning 25. Number 1, less is more. Self-sufficiency and knowing when enough is enough is key. I feel like this is the most lesson to learn, and that's why I've picked it to be the number 1 lesson. Because if you always strive for more money, more friendships, more relationships, more beauty, more fame, more whatever it is, status, whatever you might want for yourself in your life, you are always going to run after a goal that keeps pushing the bar further back, and you are never going to reach it. There's always going to be a lot of dissatisfaction around the fact that you're never going to reach that impossible goal. And how would you even want to reach that if there is never a stop line, there's never an ending line? If you're thinking of a marathon, there's never a finish line for you, because you keep pushing that more and more in the back. You don't know how to give yourself credit. You don't know when to stop. You don't know when enough is enough, when a boundary is being stepped over, or when you actually have reached the best that you should and there is no further, but you still try to blindly reach for something that is out of reach and that is not there. And I'm not saying this in a way to limit your beliefs or to limit your goals, your expectations. I'm just saying that temperance is something that you will learn with time and that you will learn with effort, and you will learn it through experience. It is not a thing to be learned in theory, but also in practicality. I'll give you an example out of my life. So When I started this podcast, I wanted to be an influencer really, really bad. And that was because in my mind, I thought I need to be popular and famous in order for my podcast to be successful, in order for it to bring me the results that I desire, and also to bring me more money. And the truth about it is that I don't need all of this social media reach that I thought I would once need to be an influencer, to have like over 100K followers on Instagram and TikTok in order to be successful. But that is furthest away from the truth. There is a guy I know personally. He is an emotional coach, emotional freedom coach, and he has less than 1,000 followers, right? And he has an income of over 10,000 euros per month with less than 1,000 followers. And that is because the quality that he puts out on social media to those less than 1,000 followers is already enough to make them buy his coaching and to pay his bills, basically. He doesn't have another job but that, and he is more than happy because he gets to feed his family, he gets to do whatever he wants to do, and to give his children everything they need and more. And so that kind of opened my eyes to the fact that yes, I don't need this absurd social media reach in order for me to reach my deeper goals, because the goal is not to be famous, it's not to be popular on social media, it's not to have all of those followers, it is to have a positive impact on other people. And that is what I have through this podcast as of right now. That is what I have through my job, working in marketing and serving the clients, whatever they have booked, right? So it's not always about the reputation that you have on the outside, it is more about what kind of impact do you have on the few people that are actually in your closer circle. Also, another example would be money. You don't need, objectively speaking, you don't need to be a millionaire in order to be wealthy. You don't need $100,000 per month in order to live lavishly, in order to live freely, and to be able to get the most valuable thing that money can bring you, and that is time, that is decision, that is freedom to choose what you want to do every single day of every single week of every single month. If you have an income of, let's say, 5 to 10,000 euros or dollars every month, that is for me personally more than enough. My financial goal as of right now is to have an income of 5,000 euros every month in my bank as my income, because that allows me to do all of the things that I want to do. That would be to pay a higher rent for a better apartment, that would be to get a car that I want to have, and that would be to be able to, if let's say if I'm having a really hard time and I feel like I'm on the verge of a mental breakdown and I just need an escape, I just want to book a flight and go, I can do that with my 5K. Probably I could even be able to do that with 3K, but the goal is 5 in here because I don't want to set my bar too low, but I also want to not set it absurdly high, something that would not even serve me, because that would not vibrate with the type of vibe that I want to put out there, and that is to be self-sufficient, to be absolutely fine with the things that you have. I'm also already fine with the things that I have now, but there is room for improvement, of course. And that room for me, everybody defines this differently, right? But that ideal room for me as of right now would be 5K. And that is because I've learned that less is more. And before I was at this point, I was always thinking that I need to have at least 100K per month in order to be happy, in order to be able to live my dreams, in order to be financially free and financially secure for the rest of my life. But I wouldn't even want to be absurdly rich now so that I don't have to work ever again. I would get fucking bored. Like, I actually do enjoy going to work, and we're going to come to this lesson later on. I enjoy doing what I do, and so I feel like I am making a positive impact on those around me and of on those that I serve. And therefore, this is my calling and this gets me going every single morning when I wake up. So to come back to lesson number one, less is more. Think about your goals right now. Think about whether your goals really serve the higher purpose or if they serve your ego. Like mine did, trying to be an influencer, even though my real goal was to be impactful. Which brings me to lesson number two. Do you want what you want for yourself or to show off to others? What is it that you truly want or that you truly feel called to do? Do you feel like you should be a lawyer, you should be a doctor because that is your parents' expectations and that is something that society looks up to? Or would you like to rather, be a holistic practitioner and travel around the world and learn all about herbs and natural remedies and just, you know, heal people as you go? Or maybe you would like to open a dog shelter and in Thailand and take care of dogs. But that is not something that people look up to in the first place because they're like, oh, what kind of dream is that? That's not financially secure. That is not really something that has a future. That is not something that will feed you and maybe your kids one day. So what are you even doing with your life? Like, did you even go to university? Did you even have a good certification of completion at school? Like, what is it that you're doing with your life? So whatever you choose to do, don't do it out of societal pressure, out of peer pressure, or even out of your own voices in your head's pressure. Do it because your soul feels called to do that and because the world needs that type of talent that you're putting in. Our mission here is to serve each other in this lifetime, and your only task is to do it. Your only task is to find out what it is that other people need that you can give them, that you can teach them, that you can do for them, that you can teach them how to do instead for themselves, and do it. And if you keep yourself small, if you dim your own light, if you let fear and judgment of others take over, that is not you fulfilling your dharma. You're not fulfilling your soul's purpose. And therefore, you are doing the world a disservice because the help that you could give to those people that need it the most, you're taking it away from them because your own insecurities did not let you get over the judgment of others and this harsh world that we live in, because we can say it as it is. It's not easy to fulfill your soul's purpose, and it's not even supposed to be easy. Nobody guaranteed you that life would be easy. And even if it would be, it would be boring as hell. And it would not feel meaningful and impactful. For example, whenever I reach something and it is out of my own work, my own education, the time that I put in, the efforts that I put in, the work, and everything that I thought about the whole process, and then I see that it's bearing fruits, and I see the results, and I see that, yes, I am actually not changing only my own life, but also other people's lives. And that type of satisfaction is absolutely unmatched. That is not something that you can get when you are, when luck is just being put in your lap, and things are just happening for you without you doing anything for it. That is not to say that you should be ungrateful if you have some sheer luck, or if you're born into, let's say, for example, a wealthy family, or if you have really good connections that help you in your career. Take that and make the best out of it. Honestly, like, kudos to you. But if you still miss the point of fulfilling your own dharma, you are not serving anyone, not even yourself. Take your highest goals under consideration, take a look at them and reflect the reason behind them. Are you trying to reach specific things for your ego or for somebody else's sake? Or are you trying to reach those things because they are impactful and you feel called, your soul feels called to fulfill those tasks in order to help others? Moving on to the third lesson, self-love comes first. All other types of love follow afterwards. We all know the good old saying, if you can't love yourself, how do you expect to love others? And that is true. If you feel like there is no self-love within your heart, but you are in a loving partnership, I must disappoint you and let you know that what you feel for the other person, it might feel like love to you, but on a psychological level, it's not because you don't even feel love for yourself. And you, your own person, you spend the most time in your life with yourself, and that is every single second. There is nobody else on this planet that knows you better than you do and that spends more time with you than you do. So if you don't even like who you are, what you present in this world, what kind of mindset you have, how do you expect to love other people? You have the choice to change yourself, to mold your body, your mind, your soul, to become what you want it to be, what it feels called to do from a higher consciousness, and you still don't do it. You don't give yourself what you deserve, and by not doing that, again, coming back on lesson number two, you are doing the world a disservice. Because if you're not your best self, you cannot be the best of help for others. So if you don't love yourself, you cannot love others, and what you feel for other people is dependency. You're looking upon on them because you feel like there is a sense of community, there is a sense of acceptance. You feel like those people love you, that those people like to be around you, and that might be fine and that might be true for them. But what you feel for those people is dependency, and you love them for the reason that they love you back, or they give you positive affirmations, they give you company, they companionship, they give you their time, and they give you a positive feeling all around. And that is what you need from yourself. And because you're lacking it, you're looking for it in other people. And so the worst scenario for you is to be alone. Solitude is your biggest enemy when in fact it should be your best friend. Solitude does not mean that you are alone or lonely, it just means that you are self-sufficient. Again, lesson number one, that you're self-sufficient. You know that you are more than enough. You in yourself, in your own person, in your own entity, are whole. You're not missing a piece. You're not missing your better half. You're not missing your community because you are not defined by those outside factors. You define yourself through your spirit. You define yourself through the inner knowing that you have, the knowledge, the wisdom, the spirituality within you, your soul. And you know that your soul, again, is connected to every single instance, every single living being on this planet. And so everything is one. And as soon as you understand that, your eyes are going to open to the truth that we are all connected. We are all one entity, and therefore, we're never going to be alone. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love others, as you and others are made out of the same substance. Number four, trial and error are key to success. Failure is not a mistake. So, I have experienced a lot of Let's say I've went through a lot of specific jobs, very different jobs that had nothing to do with one another. I've went from being in an acting school to going to work for the army as a translator. Then I went to do an apprenticeship as a cosmetician, and now I work in marketing and I have a podcast. So all of those things, those were just four of, like, I think I have had in my life something between 25 to 30 jobs, and they were all different from each other. And that is because I never wanted to give up my quest to find the job that truly fulfills me. And I did not know what it looked like because I have so many different interests. And so everything that interested me, I tried to give it a shot in the professional world and see if I would like to do it in the longer run. And even, for example, after doing my apprenticeship as a beautician, I started doing the job and I've only lasted for half a year in it because it was one of the worst jobs that I ever had. It was my job in Munich that I keep talking about. So even though I spent time to educate myself and money to get all this shit done, it does not mean that, well, now that I've done it, now that I have this degree, I'm going to be stuck in this job for the rest of my life. Hell to the fucking no. This was experience and I have a lot of knowledge from that time, and not only the theoretical or the practical knowledge that I got out of being a beautician, but also for myself, how it is to really be disciplined when it comes to a degree, how it is to really get a degree outside of school and outside of the driving license, right? How it is to strive for a goal and see the finish line and really get through that, get through the very stressful times. And that teaches you a lot of resilience, and that teaches you a lot of discipline that you need in the other areas of your life as well. And even like Doja Cat, she really needed almost a decade to put out music and to be active on TikTok and everywhere before she really got to be on that scale that she is today. And she did not give up, and here she is. She's fucking famous and everybody knows her name, in our generation at least. And I told you in another episode, Thomas Edison, the guy that invented the light bulb, he needed 100 or a bit more than 100 tries until he got that shit right. And imagine he wouldn't have invented the light bulb when he did. Imagine the people that were before our time that really started from scratch and didn't have internet to look up for answers and didn't have the type of information and books and education that we have at our hands in order to invent something absolutely new that does not exist in the world, right? So we are living in such a privileged time, and it would be an absolute shame for you to fall once and then remain on the floor and just not bring into the world what you're supposed to create. If you need more insight on this, listen to the previous episode. Setbacks are really the new starting line, and setbacks give you the chance to reevaluate, to reassess, to see what went wrong and to see what went good too, and then move on from there, because with this new knowledge, with this experience, you can only move forward. You can only move further up the mountain, and the mountain has a peak, and you are going to reach it eventually if you just keep going. And if you feel like you've been trying for so many years and you've been trying in so many different ways, try to dive deep into yourself. Think about lesson number 2. Do you want what you want for yourself or to show off to others? And maybe that is the reason why it did not work out all along. So reassess your goals. Look deep within what you truly want to achieve in this very short but beautiful lifetime. And if it is what you've been trying to do for years on end, try to change your perspective on that. Try to get people from outside to give you an opinion, or go very deep within in meditation and ask for higher guidance, for divine guidance to step in and to show you the way. And lastly, number 5, you are not in a race. This is a marathon. And here we're talking about life. We are here for the long run. We're not here to sprint from milestone to milestone, like finishing school at 18, finishing your bachelor degree at 21, finishing your master's degree at 24, 25, and then building a career until you're 28, and then getting married, and then getting your first child at 29, your second child at 30, and then moving on from there. So this is not the type of life that you should strive for if it is not your highest self doing all of those things. If you feel like that is your highest calling, to just go through the milestones of life like that and build a family and build a career for yourself and all that, kudos to you. Keep on doing what you're doing. Go your own way. But if you don't feel like that is the way that you would want your life to go, then you don't have to. You don't have to rush and live on somebody else's timeline, because only you live on your own timeline. None of us started at the very same point. None of us started at the same time. None of us started in the same conditions, with the same families, with the same school, same experiences, same insecurities, same mindset, same genetics, same anything. We are all so uniquely different, and even if you're siblings, even if you're twins, you still are uniquely different, because you have a mind of your own, you have a soul of your own, and your sibling or your twin has the exact same thing too. So if you feel like there is so much pressure on achieving something, on achieving something that you can show off and that somebody else would be proud of you to achieve, that is the exact opposite of what you should do. The thing that you should do is take the time to figure yourself out. Take the time to get to know who you are, get to know your soul, get to know your dharma, your soul's purpose, and then try and fail until you get on your path that is going to lead you to serve others and to serve yourself. That path will lead you to sustainability and to being self-sufficient, to believing that yes, less is more. And so this is the full circle of all of those lessons, because when you believe that less is more, and when you're self-sufficient, when you are more than happy with yourself, that is when you have this self-love, because you have such a deep trust within. And what you trust, you love as well. And then you have a lot of love for others left, because you have learned what love is, and now you can give it to others. So the full circle of the things that you should learn before turning 25 is right in the core of this episode. It is being self-sufficient, learning what true love really is, following your soul's purpose, and doing that for the long run and not for the short race of the ego. All right, guys, if you love the pod at least half as much as I do, then please rate it 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. That helps a lot. Thank you so much for supporting the pod continuously, for sending me short and cute messages. I really love reading those. And just thank you for building this community with me. I'm sure that by the end of this episode, you got the gist. Bye!